Hallelujah, hallelujah. Indeed, it is well with you. It is well with you. This is something that you must have to tell yourself. You must have to say it. You must have to pronounce it. You must have to believe it, that it is well with you. Through it all. Through it all. Name it. Whatever it is well with you. You don't need a prophet to tell you that. You just need to prophesy to yourself and believe it. Believe it. It's going to be well with you. As a matter of fact, it's already well with you, because Jesus Christ at Calvary, he said, it is finished. Everything concerning you is finished. Everything concerning your life, it is finished. You see, he does not, he's not like human beings who, you know, who start at the beginning. For him, he starts at the end. Your life is already done. It's already carved out for him. He's already done it. He's not in heaven, you know, panicking and wondering what's going on in your life. No, 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 no. You already has sorted it out for you. It is well. Through it all, it is well. Let's appreciate Mercy for that awesome session. Mercy, may God bless you in the name of Jesus. I know you are online. May the Lord bless you. That first song that she sang is her first song. So just trust in. Is it trust in you? Something like that. You can type that, Mercy, the title in the chat, so that people can go and download it on Spotify, iTunes, whatever. Yeah, thank you so much, Mercy, for your tireless efforts as you continue to lead us into the presence of the Most High God. So here we are. We're getting into the Word of God. Settle into the Word of God. I just want you to settle at home wherever you are. Grab a cup of tea, grab a cup of coffee, and make sure you're in a place where you cannot be disturbed, so that we can learn together. Let the Holy Spirit speak to us in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we give you the praise. As we gather at your table, Lord, we pray that you feed us, O King of Kings, until we want to know more. Let your power flow through your word, because the entrance of your word brings light. Illuminate, King of Kings, our lives. Show us that which you want us to do. Show us your will. Give us direction, Father Lord, where we are confused. Father Lord, may we see you. May we know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. King of Kings, we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. And we ask all this through the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. And somebody shouts a big amen and amen and amen. Type in amen in that chat. And just that word amen means so be it. So be it. You are agreeing with me that so be it. So be it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Well, we just celebrated the resurrection, commemorated the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. And this evening, I just wanted to touch a little bit about that. Under a subject that I have called the authority of the believer, the authority of the believer, the authority of a believer. You have authority. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. The Greek word, the Greek term for authority, the Greek term for authority is exousia. Exousia. Hallelujah. You have exousia, child of God, and that is because of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Although at times that word is translated power, that word exousia does not primarily refer to a physical strength or power, but it refers to the rightful and legitimate exercise of power. The rightful, legitimate exercise of power. When the policeman turns on that light and stops you, he is exercising authority. He has rightful and legitimate power. Power to exercise that authority. He has exousia, but we're not talking about that kind of power. We are talking about serious power, power that is above all these other powers. Hallelujah. That word exousia speaks of the rightful, actual, and unimpeded power to act. The impeded power to possess, the impeded power to control, the impeded power to use or dispose of something or somebody. You see, a person has authority primarily by virtue of the position that he holds. Like I said, give an example of a policeman. The policeman has authority by virtue of the position that he holds. If you meet that policeman out of uniform, he will not have the authority, because once he is not in uniform, then he's not in the position to exercise authority. Hallelujah. A person has authority by virtue of the position which he holds. Authority is not a physical coercion. It is not. It's not something that you enforce. It's something that is bestowed upon you. Hallelujah. In all creation, the only rightful power belongs to its creator. It belongs to God. It belongs to God. And the authority that men have is delegated to them by God. He delegates his power. He delegates his authority. And man must answer for the way that he uses that authority. That's why at the end of it all, we'll stand before him to answer how we have used that which he has put in our hands. You know why? Because all authority is ultimately God's authority. It is his. It is his. All authority belongs to God. He is the author. He is the author and the finisher of our lives. Amen. God's authority is an aspect of his unalterable, unalterable, universal, and eternal dominion over this world. And not only this world, but in heaven. It cannot be altered. And it does not end. It is eternal. His dominion is eternal. Man's authority is not eternal. Men in power change. They change. Governments change. You know? We have got a prime minister in the UK. He will, you know, he's not going to be prime minister forever. No. No. The only person whose authority never ends is God. It is eternal. Thank God that our God has got eternal dominion. He has got eternal authority. We do not have to have changed governments in heaven. Our God is one, the same yesterday and today and forever. Hallelujah. However, with that authority, he still delegates it. He delegates authority to man. And he did that in the Garden of Eden. We know in creation, according to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. I hope we have that verse. That
in the Garden of Eden.
Let's see where we are. According to Genesis chapter Genesis 1, verse, chapter, I'll correct 1, that verse shortly. 26.
Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. I hope we have that verse.
Hallelujah. Bear with me. I just want us to be together in as we read the scriptures. Hallelujah. There we go. According to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, the Bible says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image." Let us make man in our image. Man was created in his image. In the image of God, he created him. God is a God of authority, and you too are a person and a woman, a man of authority. Hallelujah. Amen. What did he say? "And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea." Let them have what? Dominion. That word dominion, another word for authority is dominion. Another word for authority is dominion. Let them have dominion. Let them have dominion. Over the what? Over all creation, over the sea, over the fish, over the birds of the air. Can you imagine? Over the livestock and over all the earth and over everything that creeps on earth and even under the earth. That is the authority that God gave man. Delegated authority. To have dominion. You and I are meant to have dominion. We are meant to dominate, not to be dominated by stuff, not to be dominated by things, not to be dominated by creation. We have got to have a domain. Hallelujah. But then we know that man lost all that at the fall. He lost it at the fall when the devil came in and tempted man out of that authority. The devil is always after our authority. He took it. The moment we fall for sin, the authority was taken away. But we thank God that God did not let that slide. No. He said, you know what? I must restore that authority. I must restore the authority of my children, my delegated authority to my children. Hallelujah. And that's why he sent Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to redeem that authority. He came to redeem man's place before God. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Thanks be to Jesus. Thanks be to Jesus for that awesome sacrifice. Hallelujah. The authority of Jesus. Jesus came with authority. He came with that authority, both personal and official, for he's both Son of God and Son of Man. That Son of Man was his messianic title, the messianic man. As man and Messiah, authority is delegated to him by his father. It was delegated to him by his father, at whose command he was doing everything that he was doing on earth. Jesus Christ did not do things. When he was on earth, he did not do anything except what the Father showed him. And this is what one time in John chapter 5, we see him healing this man who was at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years. You know, he comes and heals him, and this man has no idea who has just healed him. Because the moment after healing him, Jesus disappears in the crowd. Now, because this miracle, and as many other miracles that Jesus did, was on the Sabbath, the Jewish leaders began to persecute him. Why is he violating the Sabbath? They began to ask him, in what authority is he doing all this? In what authority? They did not know that he was the authority. But in his defense, Jesus says, you know, he answered them in John chapter 5, verse 19. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, truly, truly, I say to you. Let's get that verse. Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing. The Son can do nothing. The Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. So whatever Jesus Christ was doing on earth, whatever he did, he first saw his Father doing it, because on earth he was under delegated authority. He says, for whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. You see that? Whatever the Father does, that's what the Son does. He had authority. But then we see the devil taking him to tempt him. The devil takes him to tempt him. After Jesus Christ is baptized, he's led, the Bible says, he was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. What is the devil doing tempting Jesus? The devil is repeating what he did in the Garden of Eden. He tempted the first Adam and snatched the authority from him. Now he senses that the second Adam has come, and he's also tempting him to take away his authority. He's after the authority of Jesus Christ. Because we know that in the Garden of Eden, man, the first Adam, when he sinned, he lost the authority. Now a huge chunk of that was then given to the devil. Devil took part, a huge chunk of that authority, when man was cast out of the presence of God. So now he appears before Jesus Christ. Listen, look at what he's telling Jesus. In Luke chapter 4, we're going to be reading from verse 5 to 7. Luke chapter 4, verse 5 to 7. Open your Bibles and go to Luke chapter 4, verse 5 to 7. This is what he says. The Bible says, and the devil took him up. The devil took who? Jesus up, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. What is he looking for? Like I said, he's looking for his authority. He says, and he said to him, truly, to you I will give all this authority. Did you hear that? He's telling authority that he wants to give him authority. To you, I will give all this authority and their glory. Why? For he says, for it has been delivered to me. That authority and that glory has been delivered to him. He had it. The devil has got some stuff to give some people. He dishes out stuff as well. He says, if you would bow down and worship me, I will give it to you. And I will give it whoever will worship me. If you will worship me, he says, it will be yours. What is he talking about? The battle here is about authority, my friend. It's about authority. Yes, he has authority. He has. But it's not the ultimate authority in the world. Do you understand? He may have power, but it is just power by permission. It's power by permission. It's not authority. No. He doesn't have the ultimate authority. You remember the attack on Job? How does he attack Job? He has to go to God to first ask him for permission. And God permits and said, you can go and but do not touch his life. Touch his all other things, but do not touch his life. He is given permission. You understand? He has some sway in the world. The devil has some sway in the world, but he is a defeated foe. He is a defeated foe. He is operating from a defeated angle. He does not, it's just like kicks of a dying horse. Because and ultimately he will be destroyed. You understand? What does the Bible tell us in John? 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. The Bible says, and we know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Though we are from God, we know that the world lies in the power of who? The evil one. He is referred to as the God of this world, that devil. He has some sway, he has some power, but he does not have the ultimate power. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. What does he say? He says, in this case, the God of this world, is called who? The God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. So whenever we are praying for people to get born again, we need to know that they have been blinded. You once upon a time was blinded. I once upon a time was blinded. By who? By the God of this world. That's why we sing that song, I once was blind, but now I do what? But now I see. He has blinded them to keep them from what? From seeing the light. From seeing the light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. That's why we break the power of the God of this world, that men and women may see the light, that they may behold the light, that they may come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Thank God, Jesus Christ did not succumb to the devil's temptations. He did not succumb. He did not worship him. And he came. You know, he comes at a point when you are weak. He came at a point when he was weak in the body. He was hungry. He had been fasting for 40 days, and, you know. But thank God, Jesus Christ kept his authority. If he had bowed down to the devil, I think that he would have forfeited his divine authority there and then. But he kept it. That's why we must keep our authority, the authority that Christ has given us. He maintained it. And he went on in his ministry. The Bible says that he taught with authority. He taught with authority. Matthew chapter 7, verse 29. The Bible says that when the people heard him teaching, they say, my God, this man is teaching like one who has authority, not like the scribes, not like the religious guys of the day. He taught with serious authority. You know why? Because he did not lose it when he was tempted. Just like man lost it in the Garden of Eden. Hallelujah. He taught with authority. Number three, his works were with authority. He worked with authority. Hallelujah. His works were with authority. Mark chapter 1, verse 27. What does he say? And when the people would look at him and the things that he was doing, this is what they would say. And they were all amazed. They were all amazed. So they started questioning among themselves, saying, what is this? They had never seen anything like that. Never. Because of the authority that he had. Says they began to say, a new teaching with authority? Says he commands even unclean spirits and they obey him. Oh my God. And they obey him. They had never seen that. He had authority. And that's the authority that he wanted us to have, or God wanted us to have, the authority over unclean spirits. They have to obey us in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. Not only did he have authority, not only did he teach with authority, not only did he do his works with authority, Jesus Christ also imparted authority. He imparted authority. According to Luke chapter 9, verse 1, the Bible says, and he called the 12 together when he called his disciples and did what? And he gave them power and authority. Notice that there are two different things. He gave them the what? Power and authority. He gave them dunamis and he gave them exousia over all, not some, all demons and to cure diseases. These guys were like doctors, my friend. In fact, doctors just treat. They don't cure. It's God who cures. He gave them power. He delegated that power. He delegated that authority over all demons. Are you following, my friend? In Luke chapter 10, verse 19, he says, behold, I have done what? I have given you authority. He brought that authority back to give it to us, the authority that we had lost in the Garden of Eden. Behold, I do what? I give you exousia to tread on serpents and scorpions. My God. And over some power? No. All the power of the enemy. And nothing but shall enemies hurt you. We are meant to tread over serpents, to tread over scorpions and all the powers of darkness, all the power of the enemy, every power that he has in his arsenal. You and I, as a child of God, as a believer, we have authority over in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Somebody say amen. You have that authority. That is the authority of the believer, the authority that we lost in the beginning. That's the dominion that we have. And we must walk in that power in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Now remember, we said that the devil had some power. But towards his death, as Satan came against Jesus in his final hours, this is what Jesus says. Notice what Jesus says in John chapter 12, verse 31. That's what he says. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. Hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And then in John chapter 16, as he's talking about sending the Holy Spirit, he says in concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is already judged. The ruler of this world is judged. Thank God for Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. You see, if the devil had known what would come from the cross, he and his demons would not have nailed Jesus Christ to the cross. The death of Jesus Christ on the cross was his final undoing, and he did not know it. He didn't know it. If he had known, Jesus Christ would not have been what? Crucified. Because that was the ultimate undoing. That was the ultimate, sacrifice that was going to bring back the entire authority into our hands. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ drove the point home. We thank God for Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. This is how Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7 to 8. He says, but we impart a secret, in the teaching, in his teaching, he says, we are imparting a secret. This is what we are doing right now. We are learning secrets from God. He says, we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God. It was hidden. There is something that the devil is not omniscient. The devil does not know all things. As a matter of fact, he's not even omnipresent. The devil is not everywhere. So he has got agents who are all over the place. That's why he says, you know, when he's going to ask for permission to attack a Job, God asks him, where are you coming from? You don't have to ask God where he's coming from. Why? Because God is everywhere. He's all over the place at the same time. What does he say? He's saying, I've been up and down. I've been here and there roaming. You know? So he says we impart a secret and a hidden wisdom of God, which the devil does not know. He says, which God decreed before the ages, before the eons, before the ages for our glory. Before the ages, before the foundation of the earth, that wisdom was there. Verse 8 says, none of the rulers of this age understood this. They never. Remember, the ruler of this age is the devil and his cohorts. They did not understand that. It says, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They would not have done it. Because, my friend, the power was in the cross. The power was in the cross. Hallelujah. So at the cross, this is what Jesus Christ did. He decisively dealt with that reason which had delivered the authority, our authority to the devil in the first place. He had to deal with it. He dealt with the sin which had caused us to lose our dominion. The one that had caused us to become dead to God and alive to the prince of this world and his ways. You understand that, child of God? Jesus Christ's death at the cross changed everything. That was the devil's ultimate defeat. It was our ultimate rescue. It was our ultimate redemption. He redeemed our authority. He redeemed us. He redeemed our standing before our God, the standing, the status that we had lost. That is redemption, my friend. The redemption at the cross. Listen to how Paul puts it in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 to 15. He says, this is very interesting. And he says, and you, meaning you and I, who were dead in our trespasses and the uncircumcision of our flesh. It says, God made alive. Last week we were talking about being alive to God, because the resurrection made us alive to God. It says, God made us alive together with him. In other words, we were dead, yeah? But now, because of his death at the cross, because of his resurrection, he made us alive again. He brought us back again. We have been made alive together with him, having forgiven us, not some, but all our trespasses. All our trespasses. He has forgiven. There's no sin that he hasn't forgiven. And then how did he do it? In verse 14, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. He canceled it. How did he do that? This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Those nails that were being driven by those guys, they didn't know that they were destroying the evidence. He disarmed the rulers and the authorities and put them to shame, open shame, by triumphing over them publicly. Hallelujah. He made us alive. We came back. We came back. We bounced back. How? By forgiving all our trespasses. Like I said, there's no sin that hasn't been forgiven. All you need to do is confess it. It is forgiven. Confess it. Say, you know what? I'm sorry. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. He has already forgiven. But the onus is upon us to access the forgiveness. What was he doing at Calvary? He was canceling the record of the debt that stood against you. with its legal demands. How? By nailing it to the cross. Every nail that was driven into his wrist, into his feet, was counseling. And then the disarmament began. Then he disarmed the rulers, as the scriptures told us. He disarmed the rulers. He disarmed all the authorities and shamed them openly, triumphing over them. Case cancelled. Case cancelled. So much so that if today he stands in a court with his folder, you know, his folder is inconsequential. He has no case. He is powerless in the courtroom of God because the evidence has been destroyed. It was destroyed. The record of your debts has been cancelled. Tetelestai, he said, I have paid them. His incriminating evidence against God's elect has been taken out of his hand. Hallelujah. And therefore, there's no unforgiven sin anymore. We are forgiven. So that's why. That's why. You know, Paul says that in Romans chapter 8 that there's no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus. Let's read that scripture. Romans 8, verse 1 to 2. So I said, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus. As long as you are in him, not just on him, just deeply in him, deeply baptized in him, deeply immersed in him, there's no condemnation. Why? Because the evidence was cancelled. The evidence was cancelled at Calvary. The enemy was disarmed. That authority which he had was taken away from him. Verse 2 says, for the law of the spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. The spirit of life. Thank God for the spirit of life. He has set us free. Free from his curse. His authority. You know, his authority. His curse has lost grip on you. You are free. I am free. And I need to act as one who is free. Hallelujah. Jesus disarmed him. As they were nailing him to the cross, he was disarming them. As they put him in the grave, he was not just sleeping. He was not on holiday in the grave. He was working. He was not just sleeping. You understand? This is what he says when he comes back after resurrection. Listen, this is what he says. And Jesus said to them, all, not some, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Which authority the devil had stolen now has been given to him. He now has it because he has disarmed him at the cross. Wow. All authority in heaven and on earth is now in my hands, he says. The authority on earth is now back in his hands, and he's ready to hand it over to his church. He handed it over to us. Hallelujah. He was above all authority. Above all authority. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21. Bible says, and far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. Oh my God, this is sweet. Over all rule, authority, power, dominion, and above every name that is named. Not only in this age, but also in the one to come. That is the authority that he came back with from the dead, from that ordeal at the cross. You understand, child of God? That's why Paul continues to say in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 to 11, says, therefore, because he was obedient, even obedient to death at the cross, therefore, God has highly done what? Exalted him above and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, not some, but every knee, I don't care whether they are the prime minister, I don't care whether they are the queen, they all bow in heaven and on earth, even under earth. Because as we shall see later, he even descended under earth and disarmed everything, that every power that was there. So no power from hell. No wonder he says, I will build my church. And the gates of hell or the gates of Hades shall not prevail. Verse 11 says, and every tongue has to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the boss. He is the boss to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 22, he says, he who has gone into heaven, he has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of the Father with angels, with authorities and powers, having been done what? Subjected to him. He took back the authority, my friend. He took back the authority and has given it to us as the church. The church is you and me. The church is not brick and mortar. The church is you. You have that authority, child of God. We have that authority. As long as you are in him, you have that authority. That's why the church has got to awaken. We have got to awaken to that authority. We cannot keep on crying or, you know, like those who do not have him. We need to keep it. We need to fight for it. We need to walk in that authority in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Are we together, friends? Paul writes to the Colossians. Colossians in chapter 2, verse 6 to 7. This is what he says. Therefore, as you received Jesus Christ, the Lord, do what? Walk in him. Walk in him. That authority, walk in him. The one who brought back that authority, walk in him. Rooted and built up in him. And established in faith. Walk in him. Rooted. Your roots have got to be driven down. Not this shallow Christianity. Not talking about this shallow Christianity where you come out of somewhere just like a submarine. No. Rooted in him. Built up in him. And established in the faith. Listen, he's not saying in faith. He's saying in the faith. You understand? Just as you were taught abounding in thanksgiving. He continues to say in verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive. Remember in the beginning we said that the reason we were taken captive, but the enemy took man captive is because he gave in to his temptation. He did not stand his ground. He was not rooted in the word that was given to him. You shall not eat of this tree. The day you shall eat of it, you shall surely die. It just passed. It entered here and came out the other way. He was not rooted in it. We need to be rooted in Jesus Christ. He says, see to it that no one takes you captive, my friend, by philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition. Even today, the enemy is still fighting for that authority. He is still taking captives, but we refuse that in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. The new age is out, is all over the place. You know, people are living Christianity. People are living. These things do not work. You know, you cannot be taken captive again by human tradition according to the elemental spirits of the world and not according to Christ is saying. You cannot do that. See to it that no one takes you captive. Keep in that authority that God has given you. Hallelujah. He continues to say, for in him, you know, in Christ, in him, the full and whole, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. Verse 10, very crucial. And you have been done what? Filled in him. You have been filled in him, who is the head of not some, but all rule and authority. You have been filled with that authority. But do we know that authority? Have we begun to access that authority? Have we even tried to test that authority? May we awaken to that authority in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God, because we have been filled in Him. Hallelujah. We have been filled in Him. See to it that nobody takes you captive. See to it that no philosophy takes you captive. See to it that no teaching takes you captive. No. No. Be rooted in Him. Be built in Him. Be established in Him. That is why Jesus Christ, after all that in the Great Commission, according to Mark chapter 16, verse 15 to 16, this is what He says. Notice what He's saying. The Bible says, and He said to them, go into the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. To the whole creation. He's not just talking about people here. He's talking to even to animals and all other things, I think. Because the Bible says the creation groans for the revelation of the sons of God. Even creation is waiting for us to exercise or to awaken to the authority that He has given us. Whoever believes, He said, and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe in Me will be condemned, He said. He continues to say, and these signs, even if we just stop here, and these signs will accompany, they will follow you. Because the authority is in you. They have to follow. These signs have got to follow us, child of God. They have got to follow you. They have got to follow Me. It's not talking about just pastors here. No, it's talking about any believer, as long as you believe in Him. These signs will follow you. They will accompany those who do what? Those who believe. Those who do what? Those who believe. That's why we're talking about the authority of the believer. The criteria here for qualifying for these signs to accompany you is believing. Do you believe? Are you a believer? If you shall say to this mountain, be moved and be taken into the sea, and shall not doubt, He says, you shall have that which you say. If you do not doubt, if you believe, you shall get what you believe. This sign shall accompany. They shall follow us. These signs are supposed to be following us because the authority has been given to us. He said, they shall follow you. He says, in My name, we have authority in His name. He has given us the power of attorney to act on His behalf. He says, in My name, they will do what? They will cast out demons. Demons are not supposed, we're not supposed to be playing with the demons. We're supposed to cast them out. They must answer. They must hear us and get out. It says they will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with hands. Oh, yeah. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. Jesus. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. That is the authority that He left us with, the authority of a believer. I am praying, I don't know about you, I am crying for this authority. I am believing for that authority. I am believing for these things to follow Me, not Me following them. They have got to follow Me. They have to follow you. They have to follow you, child of God. Because the authority is in you. You are not small, my friend. And the devil tries to put us in small places and tries to cover us with thoughts and all these things of the world, the cares of the world, and we forget the authority that we have. You understand, child of God. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, says, therefore, it says, when He ascended, who? Jesus Christ, when He ascended on high, He led a host of captives and gave gifts to men. When He ascended from the depth of the earth, He came with captives, people who were captives, to set them free. Powerful stuff, my friend. Hmm? And he gave some to apostles. He gave others to become apostles, others to be teachers, others to be evangelists, you know? The fivefold ministry. Are we together? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 9, he says, if he ascended, what does that mean that, you know, that he also descended? Because the Bible says that he who ascended also did what? Also descended. What does that mean? What does that mean? Where did he descend? The Bible says he descended into the lower regions of the earth, into the bowels of the earth. Do you hear that? He descended into the lower bowels of the earth. He ascended above the heavens that he might fill all things. He released captives. He released us who were under the domain of the devil, who were under the authority of the devil. He released. After conquering his foes, after conquering his enemies, number one, devil, number two, death, number three, curse, number four, the sin. After conquering all those, our God ascended. And he gave gifts. According to Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, which we read earlier, he led a triumphal procession. Openly, he defeated the devil openly. He says he put them to shame openly and triumphed over them. And in those days, you know, whenever, you know, an army would have triumphed over, you know, an enemy, they would do a triumphal procession. And in this triumphal procession, they would bring captives, the people that they have captured there, and they would show off what they have come with, and they came with gifts for their people. So as the conqueror, they would distribute the spoils from their enemies as gifts for their people. And this is what Jesus Christ did. This is what he did. He came with spoils. He came with spoils. Ephesians 4:11-12, read that again. And he gave apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, shepherds, teachers, to do what? To do what? Very crucial, to do what? To equip the saints for the work of ministry and for building up the body of Christ. The gifts that he brought were not just to play around. To build the body of Christ so that what should happen? So that they may not lose authority again. You understand? Until we attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood. People who are mature are not easily moved. People who move up and down, you find him here today, next year there. Those are people who are immature. People who are mature are not easily swayed. They are rooted. Until, you know, we have the unity of the faith and the knowledge, epignosis, the knowledge of the Son of God. Do you know him? To mature manhood. Oh. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The fullness of this authority, the fullness of what Jesus Christ did for us. Why? So that, in verse 14, so that we may no longer be children who are tossed to and fro by the waves and are carried about by every wind of doctrine. You are there by human cunnings. You are running up and down. Get rooted in Christ. Get rooted in that place where God has planted you. Drive your roots down. Drive them down. Stop following every wind of doctrine. Stop following every human cunningness. Stop following every craftiness in deceitful schemes. You understand that, child of God? I have retrieved the authority. I have given it to you. He says, and I have given you men and women in those offices to train you to a point where you are not going to lose that authority again. That is dominion. That is the authority that we have by virtue of the fact that you are a child of God. By virtue of the fact that you are a child of God. That's what he says. For as many as did what received him, to those who believe in his name, what did he do? He gave them authority to become children of God. He gave them the authority. He gave us the authority. He gave us the right. He gave us the privilege. He gave us the power. That is the authority of a believer. That is the authority that Jesus Christ gave us. Child of God, let us arise and walk in that authority. Let us arise and live in that authority in the name above every other name. Let us be rooted in him because we have been filled in him, filled by him, filled with him. Let us be rooted in him. Dig down deeper. Let your roots go down. Hallelujah. Be established in him. Be built up in him. Hallelujah. Read your word. Pray. Get deeper in him. So that you may not lose that authority. That authority cost a life. Did not come cheap. Lift up your voice wherever you are and begin to claim that authority in the name above every other name. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, we thank you, King of Kings, for you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to come and retrieve our position, to retrieve our status, to bring back to the place where we were in the beginning, in the name above every other name. Father, awaken us to our authority. Awaken us, O Father, to the power that you have given us. Awaken us, O King of Kings, that we may not be like them, O Father, Lord, who do not have you, my Father. There has to be a difference between us and those unbelievers, those people who do not know you, King of Kings, those whom the devil has darkened, who are the ones that he has blinded, my Father. There has to be a clear-cut difference in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. I am arising to that authority that I may go and preach your word in the world. That is signs, miracles, and wonders that they may follow me in the name of Jesus. That I may trample over serpents, that I may trample over scorpions, over everything that tries to exalt its name above you, Father Lord. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are powerful in you to bring down every stronghold, to cast down imaginations and arguments in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Arise in that strength, child of God. Arise and take your place, the place that Jesus Christ died for you in the name above every other name, when he disarmed all those authorities and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Behold, I give you the authority to trample over all serpents and scorpions and all the powers of darkness. And nothing by shall any means harm you, he says. Father, we give you the praise this evening. We thank you for your word. We thank you, King of Kings, for from now on we are going to walk in our authority. We are going to exercise our authority. We are going to walk as men and women who have exousia. We give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. And we ask all this through the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And somebody says, amen, and amen, and amen. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord sustain you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen.